Welcome to this week's episode of the Clubhouse End podcast. My name is Larry Quidditch. I am this podcast. We talk about all things happening within the spheres of Zimbabwe cricket as stuff happens. And a lot of stuff has happened since the last one, notwithstanding one of the big stories being some of the changes, the appointments that have been made by the Zimbabwe Cricket Board. I will go through some of that, the technical aspect, there were no change. They made slight changes to the captaincy, substantiating. We'll talk about it. I don't know. And then also, there is the first class season is essentially over now. And I just have a few comments on that. Not many things to say on that. Just to say your first class season happened, and that sort of thing. Pro 50 final is coming up on the 13th of March. I'll preview that just a little bit. And there's going to be a T20 tournament, domestic T20 tournament coming, and it's got a slight twist, and there's a women's pro 50-50 final that's coming up as well. So quite a lot of things happening and as far as cricket is concerned. But as I say, the big story is Zimbabwe Cricket Board met on the 7th of March and made some resolutions. There is, for the Zimbabwe national team position, Lalchand Rajput remains as coach as expected. I don't think there was that discussion was to sit and discuss his position. I will have a bit of a chat on that before after I go through. There are a couple of big, major changes. Stuart Matsikanyere is no longer the batting coach, but is now the assistant coach. The thinking behind that, I'm not sure. The assistant coach is often an understudy, but sometimes a buffer between the players and the head coach if sometimes the team, or rather the board, feels that maybe the head coach isn't really quite communicating well with the team. So I don't know what that means. Ultimately, the head coach's decisions, but once there's an assistant coach, obviously he has a bit of a say in what's happening, and the players can decide that they're going to chat with him instead of the head coach. So that could be a situation. Batting coach coming in is Lance Klusner. Shepard Makunula is the fielding coach. Just a bit on the batting coach, I think there was a need for a change in that respect. I think there was a point that we plateaued a little bit. As much as I liked Stuart Tsikinyere's work, I think he's a better all-rounder coach, like coaching different aspects of the game, I think. That's my personal thing. Because when you look at it, and while I mention that, the departure of Douglas Honda, if you look at the 30 points odd the Zimbabwe have had in the attempt to qualify for the World Cup in 2023 next year directly, Lalchand Rajput has won 10 points, that's against Ireland. Then Stuart Matsikanyere won 10 points, that's against when he won against Sri Lanka, when he was the acting head coach when Rajput could not go there. And then Douglas Hondo, who was the bowling coach but is completely being left out of the technical aspect at the moment, he won 10 points on his own. So I don't know, it's just kind of one of those situations where you kind of like, why is he out and everybody's left in, and batting coach is coming in. A lot of the other positions are kind of the same. Shepherd Mukunera is a fielding coach. Mufaro Chiturubadi is an analyst, physiotherapist. Trevor Wambe, team manager, is Dilip Chuhan. Media manager, Darlington Majonga. Logistics manager, Lovemore Banda. And team doctor, Dr. Solomon Madzogo. What I must add is that there is no bowling coach or fielding coach that has been mentioned. It seems they say that, sorry, bowling coach and fitness trainer is what I meant. So they just sort of like saying we're gonna mention that in a couple of weeks. There's still time, because I think the first internationals that we're gonna have Zimbabwe is probably towards the end of April. I'm reliably informed that there are a couple of series that will take place between now, and the qualifier in the, at the in July. Oh, do I not even know when the qualifier is? as far as the changes are concerned, I'm not sure. I really don't know. Yeah, I mean, right now our big focus over the next 12 months is qualification for the World Cup. And if Rashford doesn't make the T20 World Cup, I don't know, because we're playing against teams like Jersey, and you know, like they're not barnstorming sides. So if we don't make it for the T20 World Cup, I just kind of like think like, whoa, dude, like what are you still doing there? Look, I've always said there is a defense to Rashford's tenure, why he's lost a lot of matches, because in his first year or so there was the ICC, oh no, under 6 months or so, the ICC, that's even 2019, 2018, the senior players, players, most of them white, refused to play for Zimbabwe at that point. And so, yeah, that's the time you had guys like Liam Roche playing and stuff like that. So, you know, and we're playing against Pakistan and Australia, the number one teams in the world, number one and two T20 teams in the world. And then went to South Africa, where there was a bit of a fight, even though we lost some of those matches. And then we went to, what is that other country? We went to Bangladesh and won a test there. So, even though, and then we could have drawn the second one. Then another one of his highlights is beating Bangladesh within 2 days in a test match. Although we then lost the second one in 5 days. And you know, a couple of matches in test matches, and when Zimbabwe took matches to 5 days in a couple of times, and there have been some, and when there was a bit of a performance coming in, there was the ban when we went to Ireland and Netherlands. The team was pretty much broken up at that point, and just kind of like thinking, okay, this guy can't catch a break, he probably thought to himself. So I understand why his results probably haven't been the way he has. Whether he could have improved the results if those interruptions hadn't taken place is a different story, but it's something we won't know. But if he doesn't take us to the T20 World Cup final, his position might just become untenable. Now, going to other things happening within the what you call it, the national team, the convener of selectors is David Mutendera still. Elton Chikumbra is now also a selector, along with Prosper Lutseya and Gavin Ewing, rather. Looking at the why this is interesting for me, because then in the under 19 men's national team, Prosper Lutseya is the captain, is the head coach, but recently the batting coach for the under 19 was Elton Chikumbura, and he's now also the convener of selector for the under 19 team, which kind of sort of like stacks him up with a lot of responsibility at senior as well as junior level. I don't know how that will work. Honestly, I think if we had Prosper Lutseya just being among the selectors there, and then getting a different voice outside the system of, you know, development system, that would make more sense. Because what often is a problem within a lot of this selector type of system is that when everybody's kind of within the same thought process, everybody sits down and say we're doing the same thing, it kind of creates a problem. I think if we had a selector coming from a different, I would say, what do you call those? What do you call it? Like, you know, like when we had Kevin Zeal, when he was Kenyan Zeal, when he was coming from, he was from Midlands and so forth. So if someone's coming from a province and they're seeing things with a completely different eye, I think that'll make a lot more sense for me. Right now, you've got a lot of people who are just involved in within the same structures, and their thinking is might end up being the same. Gavin Ewing is in there, but I would have liked it to be a little more, I don't know, a little bit more crazy, if you want, if I must, something that is less predictable. But let's see. I mean, at the end of the day, they might have sat down and thought, well, let's have a think about this. But then also, I asked the question, because Elton Chikumbura is still also convener of selectors for under 19. His selector in the senior men's team, I then asked the question, is he still doing the same job that he was given with What's this guy? A former bowler for Zimbabwe. Is he doing the same job that he was given when he was called to a scout, you know, when he and Kyle Jarvis, there's no mention of that. So I don't know if this is kind of one of those situations where you have a Collingwood situation like you did in the United Kingdom, where there is just a lot of responsibility being given to one person and a lot of authority being given to one person. Looking at the captaincy, the test captain is Sean Williams, the vice captain is Regis Chakava, and the ODI and T20I captain is Craig Irvin, and also the vice captain in that format is Regis Chakava. For me, I'd say Craig Irvin is a no-brainer. The Sean Williams one, I don't think there's any rush. I don't even think Zimbabwe are going to play any tests this year. Maybe there's a full tour by Afghanistan expected at the end of the year. So maybe then that's when Sean Williams as a test captain is going to be coming to play. Looking at the women's team, Gary Brent, that's the headline, is the new senior women's national team coach. He takes over from that man by the name of Adam Chifor. I think that was necessary. I think the team had gotten a bit stale. I think Adam Chifor done a great job to take Zimbabwe to where it got to. But you could see that there were a couple of shortcomings when we started playing against sub-grade A sides when we started playing the types of Pakistan. Even Thailand, where the decision making was a bit different, you know, just kind of like, might need to freshen up. Gary Brent didn't do well with Rangers last time out when he played at coached a provincial side, but I would say that he is a person who many people see as capable. If you remember, he did coach what was the Mountaineers team, and they did quite well a couple of years ago. So he is a capable coach. He's assisted by Sinigiwe Mpofu, who was the assistant coach before. Trevor Garre is the bowling coach. Fielding coach is Trevor Piri. Analyst is Keith Kulinga. Farai Mabasa is the physiotherapist. Clement Rijiboa, who is a fitness trainer. Team manager is Caroline Nyamande. The media manager is Yvonne Mangunda. And the team doctor is again Dr. Solomon Madzogo. And looking at the selectors convene as Julia Chibaba, and she is assisted, and then Emily Jinjika and Tando Mlilo are involved in the setup for the senior women's team selectors. Julia Chibaba is also the convener of selectors for the under 19 team. As other selectors are Trevor Gwagare and Trevor Piri. The senior women's national team captain is Marianne Musonda, and Josephine Komo is the vice captain. So no changes there. Finally, the last one I want to check out for is the under 19 levels. Prosper retains the coaching. Keith Kulinga is the analyst. Dilip Chuhan is the team manager. Dalit Majunga, the media manager. Team doctor is Dr. Solomon Manzogo. And then the under 19 women's national team coach is Trevor Piri. Assistant coach is Sinigiwe Mpofu. Bowling coach is Trevor Garre. Keith Kulinga's analyst, Clement Rijiboa. Everything else is the same as the national team coach. The convener of selectors, I didn't mention earlier that Elton Chigumbura is the convener of selectors for the men's national team. And Justinus Chegwatiringa is one of the selectors, followed by Pollock Mubobo, Andrew Durham, and Denford Kamundati. All in all, I don't know. The fact that there's no Zim A side technical appointments just essentially means there isn't much Zim A side action expected this year. And that for me is a disappointment, because that Zimbabwe has been crying for that for the longest, that we need Zim A matches to be taking place. If we don't sort that aspect, a lot of our players are going to fall through the cracks, or their development is going to be stunted. The guys who had a relatively okay domestic season and jettisoning them to the national team messes up their confidence. Like last year, we should have really spent a lot more time with Marumani Tadewanashi Marumani, playing in the Zimbabwe A side, if there was a Zimbabwe A side, but he was jettisoned into the national team side. And even as he was failing, they just kept putting him there. So it's a conversation that must be had. We need to figure out how we're going to sort this out. It's super important. It's urgent, if I must say it that way, that we need to have a Zimbabwe A side that is playing while the senior side is playing. All the other guys have got their A sides getting up to some sort of cricket and stuff and so forth. So that's that. And as far as the appointments, I think the appointments, I have my reservations about them. I've expressed some of them. But let's hope that Zimbabwe is going to win matches, because I'm just tired of losing matches. It's just annoying now. I'm just, you know, when you see the West Indies coming out of their slump, you got a couple other teams that are just concertedly look like they're getting over the rubbish that they went through, and we're just kind of like, oh, we've just been losing matches for so long, and it's just getting annoying. It's just one of those where you're just like, ah, oh, grow up, grow a pair or something. And congratulations to Tuskers, coached by Dougie Hondo, for winning the Logan Cup. Congratulations to them. Good work. I mean, from being one of the worst teams last year to winning the Logan Cup this year, it's just incredible. It's just really dope stuff, and I'm really happy for them. They won it by 3 points, and that's because in the final game, Eagles, they beat Mountaineers. Mountaineers simply needed to win the match in order to win the title. No, it was Eagles who beat it? No, Rocks beat Mountaineers. I keep thinking about Rocks and Mountaineers in the context of the final and say, oh, no, don't say Rocks versus Mountaineers. Don't say Rocks versus Mountaineers. And speaking of the Rocks versus Mountaineers, that's the final of the Pro 50 tournament this coming weekend on the 13th of March. On the 13th of March at Harare Sports Club, and it's going to pit the two best sides, who are number one and two in the tournament per se in the group stage, with the two sides who played against each other in the season, having beaten each other once each and going into the final. In the first match, Southern Rocks beat Mountaineers by 10 runs, close match. They made 306 for 6. That was on the 5th of December, and Mountaineers were bowled out for 296 after 49.4 overs. They got the revenge 2 days later, did Mountaineers, when they bowled Southern Rocks out for 131, and Mountaineers reached their target for at 100 with at a canter in 22.1 overs. They got to 132 for 2 and won by 8 wickets in 22.1 overs. So 167 balls remaining. Now, because there's been such a huge break between the finals, between the end of the series, the last matches that were played within the Pro 50 were played way back in December. I beg your pardon, they played in January. So it's been a while since matches have been played. It's almost 2 months, actually. It's going to be 2 months since the Pro 50 finished, because it finished on the 14th of January. The two matches, the two teams won't be carrying any real form into the match. If you do, so this is like a brand new match. It's a one-off final. Rocks versus Mountaineers. If you look at the players, Ben Compton was the top scorer for the whole tournament, 361, and he's at Mountaineers. You have to go all the way down to number 5 where you find Mountaineers Kevin Kasuza with 227. Further down to get the highest for Rocks is number 9 is Sikander Razo 207, followed by Ben Curran 197. Where the folks over at where the Rocks have flustered, or you know, struggled in as far as the run making, they've compensated for in wicket taking. While the top 3 wicket takers are from teams that are already out, Sean Williams with 15, wickets, and Elit Masuku with 14, and Karl Mumba with 14. Then at 12 is Tendai Chatara for Mountaineers. But after that, the next three, Blessing Muzarabani, Trevor Mutsamba, and Sikandar Raza, are from Southern Rocks. So there is a case there for, you know, the strength of the bowling that Rocks come with against the powerful batting that seems to come from Mountaineers. So I think that's going to be the big headline in as far as what this final is going to be about. It's going to be interesting to see if Tadiwa Nashimarmani gets some of his big hitting going. Sikandar Raza is finding some good form in the red ball format during the 5-day matches where he played for Northerns and Southerns. He made some really handy runs and performed really well. Also, you know, looking at it, Tendai Chatara has taken a rest, so has Blessing Muzarabani in the 5-day matches. So they will come in fresh. So it's going to be national teammates up against each other in the final. So it's going to make for a very interesting match, in my opinion. What you're going to find a lot of what's going to be happening is where the teams really have a go on the batting end. Because the pitch is, the Harare Sports Club is turning out to be a bit flat nowadays. It's not as lively as it used to be. But if you get it early doors, then something could happen. But a clutch player that could be for Mountaineers is Wellington Masakadza, who's been showing some incredible form with both bat and ball in recent times, and I think he could be a key player. And if Rocks target him, there's not much else that's been happening around. Although, of course, Tony Mnyonga has been showing a bit of promise, the promise they've always been thinking about him. It depends on whether Shingi Masakata gets picked, because he can play quite a bit of an innings towards the end. But that means there might be a premium bowler light, or whatever the case may be. But I don't know. I don't know what you think. The match, the final is on the 13th of March at Harare Sports Club. Fans are allowed, so do make your way there. Let's make a day of it. Let's have fun with it. I will be there. I'll walk in the crowd from time to time and take pictures and maybe buy you a beer. I don't know. And finally, women's T20 and men's T20 tournaments. The tournament is starting. If the Zimbabwe Cricket app is to go by on the 16th of March, and what's going to happen is that there are going to be a couple of matches per day, and the morning match is going to be a women's match, and then the afternoon match is going to be a men's match, which is pretty exciting for me, because then guys can come in the morning. If you want to watch a full game of cricket in the T20 tournament, you can watch the ladies in the morning, see what's happening with the ladies, and then afternoon watch the men's match, because of course the men's match always gets a bigger headline. The national team players will be there involved and things of that nature. So there will be, that's the excitement for me, and I think putting those side by side is a big win for me as far as Zimbabwe cricket is concerned. It creates a headline for the women's game. I've always felt that it could benefit a lot more from having it played alongside the men's game, because the men's game, while of course the domestic match still needs a bit of marketing, I think having women playing on the same day as men, guys were coming in say, okay, let's watch women's game. You know, it gives a lot of flavor. And if we have a double final on the final day, trust me, that's an easy sell. That's a sell that sells itself. Sell that it sells itself. Anyway, if you want to catch up with what the fixtures are, you can catch up with a wonderful app that Zimbabwe Cricket came up with. They've got the Zimbabwe Cricket app, and that goes down even to domestic cricket, of course, but club cricket. So you can catch up what's happening. I've been following what's happening with Takashinga 1 and 2, old Hararians. You know, you can see what the players outside the provincial level, or who are provincial and playing in club level, are doing. So that also kind of gives you the access to the stats when the new season comes in and players are getting given contracts, and you go back and look at the stats and you say, oh, wait a minute, why does this person have a contract when they averaged 5 during the series and took no wickets? Then you can ask those questions. So you've got a lot of that data, and there's a lot to do with that data. And the good thing, of course, then us as a podcast going to have a lot of material to go through. Yeah. So that's that. Take care of yourself, the people that you love. The Clubhouse End podcast is available on any audio catcher that you use. That means if you use the iTunes, what they call it, Apple now, Spotify, it's available on Google Play, Podchaser, a podcast index, anywhere that you just look for it, it's available, and you can subscribe so you get a notification every time there's a new thing that comes out. I'll be having a couple of interviews in the next couple of weeks, especially after the season ends. There are some retired players that I've lined up that we're going to have chats with. It to see life after retirement, so, and then also developments that have been happening in the game of cricket. I'm working on getting that interview with Hamilton Masakadza. Was planning to do this week, but he's away, so I'll try and get it for next week. So yeah, I'm going to try and get it for next week. Okay, my name is Larry Kwiriray on Twitter at KWIRIRAYI. Say take care of yourself. Let's see you guys at the domestic matches. Fans are allowed. So, and I say download the app to find out where the matches are taking place, fixtures and so forth. Otherwise, as I say from where I come from, asibi siyasebenza. Take care of yourself.
This week's episode has come to an end. But the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, head over right now to Twitter and Facebook and like, share, and get involved. Join us next time.